When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on Love That Voiceover, where we explore the people and projects behind the microphone.
This is Rick Riley, commercial, promo, and documentary voice of NFL's Minnesota Vikings. Keep listening to Love That Voiceover with Love That Rebecca.
Brought to you by the talented voiceover artist, Rebecca Michaels Haw. Hey, all you lovely, fabulous, fantastically, wonderfully rich, creative actors and agents and casting and producers listening to Love That Voiceover. Thank you for tuning in. All right, we're back with Jeffrey Umberger. I love it. Did anybody ever call you Hamburger?
Oh, man, the name, yeah. You can put any initial in front of Umberger, and there's one in particular. My middle name is Charlton. So if you put that initial in front of my last name, you'll know why.
Oh, no. I went with a C-H.
Ah, there you go. Charm is more
that's
like
funny,
it. There you go.
That's funny. let's go to voice talent. Really have a variety of negative perspectives about pay-to-plays in the majority. There are a lot of voice talent that do use it and find it very fruitful for them. If you see the way the terrain is right now, the land that we're playing in, and if you were to forecast where you think things are headed, what's in your crystal ball?
I think more people are going to start to understand that they're worth more money and will ask for that eventually. I think there's always going to be two type of people. There's bottom feeders in any game you play.
Yeah.
When I was a musician and I was making a certain amount in Atlanta, when I moved to LA, I thought, I'm going to double my money. This is going to be great. And I got there and I made half. And that's because there were people that were always desperate and could take less. So you're not going to be able to really fight that if it's in the hands of the people. that sounds like a political thing or something, but it is really, it is, you know, agencies and studios and everything, the unions, they had it all kind of set. So we had to just move in and maintain it and make it grow. So now that it's in the hands of everyone, that's what happens with a lot of the digital nature of our world. If you look at everything has become digital, some things are made better by it and some things are made a little harder to deal with. And so in this case, I do predict that people will be tired of even just giving it away and will kind of come back up a little bit. But
there will still always be the bottom feeders as well. And that's part of the competitive environment nature of it.
Yes. And, you know, clients will always get what they get where they want to get it. If they don't want to pay a lot, they might walk out, and there's plenty of great talent that are taking jobs for less money. So they are getting some really good talent for not much money.
Yeah.
And that talent is able to sustain because they do a volume of work and make it work that way. Well, I think since, you know, I don't think we're going to reverse the effects of this or stop it from ever happening. And there are parts of it that I like, that talent can find experience, find their own way.
Yeah.
But I just encourage every living talent out there that's trying to work, whether you need the money for your monthly income or if you're doing it because you like it, please work toward finding out what the minimums are and help us all keep it a minimum,
right,
because there's room,
right,
for everybody. Just don't kill us.
right. And I've heard that sentiment voiced, and I agree with it. And so we'll repeat that, and I underline what you just said.
Thank you.
Now, looking at some other questions that came in, kind of still related to pay-to-plays, some people have heard that agents are actually using pay-to-plays to find the right voice.
Oh, gosh, I get so many submissions, and so many, I really take submissions from industry referrals only anyway, and so that I know that they've come through people that have worked with them or they they suggest them to me, and or, you know, if I do workshops, that's sort of an industry referral, or if I'm talking to you, that's an industry referral to me, is what I mean, is kind of sharing some kind of earthly space with this voice and personality.
Right.
So I don't seek talent that way. Yeah.
Have you heard of advertising agencies using pay-to-play? This is what I had heard. An advertising agency used a pay-to-play to get a scratch track. I don't know if that ever ended up into something more, or production companies even. You know, production companies are definitely using pay-to-plays. So what do you think about all that?
I don't hate that it's happening. I mean, I'll put out an audition, let's say, for a National Texaco commercial. So it's just very random. I don't know why. But so I'll know that it's, in generally speaking, I've been invited, and I know it might be kind of a voice bank type level where we're national agencies are asked to play. But then certain talent that I have who are also on pay-to-play sites will always let me know, hey, I already got this from my LA agent, or I saw this on Voice 123, I did it 3 days ago. So we do get informed sort of that way.
There you go.
From hearing, okay, oh, it's, and I know it's coming from, you know, let's talk about maybe BDO or some well-known advertising agency. That's been the case before, maybe not BDO, but I knew the advertising agency had also put it out on pay-to-play sites. So I know that they all do play that arena as well. Let's face it, I guess an advertising agency that is not so concerned with the fee structure and wants a good budget and wants to maybe find it easier than going to an agency, or maybe wants to try the waters and see if it is easier, has probably done that. But it hasn't been in abundance over the years. And I think if it were trending toward more advertising agencies using those systems, I would have heard more about it.
Okay. Well, that's a positive sign. Let's talk about categories of voiceover. So let me just throw a list and then you can fix it or change it. Commercials, games, promos, audiobooks. Am I missing something? Or is that pretty much the big...
Yeah, narration, I guess.
Narration, sorry. Durr. That's right.
You missed one of the colors in the flag.
Oh, my God, I did. I missed the stars. I love narration. Yeah, and a really good friend of mine, Tom Pinto. My chair keeps squeaking. That's my chair. I will stop turning. He says that there's the TV narration, which is like primetime TV, and then there's like corporate narration, and then a separate category. It's all kind of under the umbrella of narration, but I'm kind of defining this because I think this is really fascinating. And then there's, you know, documentaries, which are a different kind of narration, but they all kind of fall under narration, right?
Yeah, they do. And it makes it even hard for us agents to figure out what the client means or what they want, but the individual specs will usually sort of clean that up. And you consider the source or the networks that will go on, that style is already going to be, usually will already be driven about their style, and they will continue with it. So if it's the ID network with a show only, cops and killers and all that type of stuff, investigative stuff,
right?
That style of narration is probably already set, and it's not as much of a mystery to you if you can figure out where your audition material is going to be ultimately played.
Exactly.
So that can help steer you a little bit.
Well, considering volume of activity, which is the largest or maybe the top three or four for your agency?
Mm-hmm. I guess commercial for me would be the top, and corporate would be the next one. And they sometimes run a close second with each other depending on the trends of the year.
Right.
I live in Atlanta, so there's a lot of Fortune 500 companies headquartered here, and I also have, you know, the network of producers and directors and casting directors that invite me nationally. So a lot of the corporate stuff will be pretty active. But the commercial stuff, we all pretty much get the same offerings now that LA and New York get pretty much anywhere, I guess, because of the success of Voice Bank letting us all be equal players, as well as digital nature of the world.
Yeah.
Of sound, letting us be equal players, and speed, you know. So I think commercial, then corporate, and then for me, it's been sort of what you go for, I guess, what your agency shoots for. And I went looking for and sought out game, stuff because I have so many good actors and voice talent on the roster. Actors being those that want to not just be a very good narrator or get a good piece of commercial copy story told. They want to sort of flesh out a role.
Right.
And I thought it was very fun, and it was a challenge because we weren't getting that much work here in Georgia. And so now we are, and it's
That's
a lot
great.
Of fun.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you are that you have voices that are being cast a lot for The Walking Dead, as well as
yeah.
other fun games that you can't mention because of NDAs. But do you want to
yeah.
talk about gaming and what's been happening a little bit more specifically?
Well, specifically, if you just mentioned like The Walking Dead game, it's recently gone union because they cast. Someone that was a member of the union, so the whole project went union, but it was a fun opportunity to be able to cast, mainly because they flew the talent across the country or from wherever they were to the village north of San Francisco there to
yeah.
record
Fairfield.
In person. And yes.
Telltale Games.
Right. It's such a nice thing. I mean, nobody ever travels as a voiceover talent anymore. And
yeah.
it's so nice to be able to go somewhere and do something in person. So I was not only elated to get the audition for my talent here, but no matter where my talent was, they were willing to fly them across the country and house them and feed them and everything. It was
That's
brilliant.
Awesome.
But that actually has, I don't think that's happening much anymore. They're just allowing our talent, no matter where they are, to record in the city they live in, which is, again, not to take away from any other city, but I'm glad that talent can be considered no matter where they live for big, fun stuff like this. And
right.
I would have liked to at least have a chance to fly out there as a mandatory agent that must accompany the talent.
Business expense. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Do you work, though, not as a regional agent because you represent talent from different places, correct?
I do. I consider myself national now, but not to take the arrogance that I would say, all you L.A. Giants, good luck. I'm coming your way. I don't set it like that. And if it's going to set itself like that one day, it will. Naturally, Umberger will be where it will be because of the talent that I represent and the hard work we all do for it. But
right.
I don't. So when I say I'm a national agency, I'm not trying to say, look, I am William Morris, hear me roar. What I do want to know, what I want to say is that we are all now considered, at least for our talent, no matter where we are. And so that makes it a nation of agencies. And so clients are opening up to us being wherever. So that's the only reason I say I'm a national agency, but I still have, of course, regional work here that probably won't leave the area. That's why you, as a voiceover talent, need to be represented in all the regions. You need to have a Southeast agent and a national agency, which I would still consider you having a national agency in L.A. for now, although I could be anchored as a national agency one day that you would consider as your main national agent and still have regional agencies around.
Right.
Else in LA.
Right.
But you
right.
do need to, in order to make yourself work, you need to be at least five or six agencies all around the country in the regions, because regional work still does happen and it stays locked into its own region, whereas national work goes everywhere now.
Right, right. Well, you just hit about five other questions, which is fabulous. Terrific.
Awesome.
I have seen, though, I've been in voiceover since 2001, and I have seen some agencies close, partly because of the economic problems that the U.S. has had. I also think because of this stratospheric kind of change with digital that's happened. So in terms of regional agencies, I think that they do exist, but I think there are less of them. Is that something you could speak to? Do you know?
In my experience, the ones that I've known about regionally, even across the country regionally, are still in business that I've known about in the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
I've known of agencies regionally here. There's been a strong set of 7 to 10 agencies in Atlanta that are still open, still running for business. There's a couple that have faded off, maybe just gone to one discipline instead of voiceover. They've added on camera and then taken away voiceovers. So now they're on camera because we have such a great film and TV market here.
Yeah.
They've sort of adjusted for the business. But I haven't encountered a lot of clothing, thank God, and I would have been a little bit more reticent to put them in.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Well, that's great. Let's change the subject.
Thanks a lot for the bad news in the cloud.
No, you know what? I think this had to do with some other markets that were probably destined to go through that kind of a change, and perhaps economically when we have gone through a recession, that just sped up the process. Probably, because there's also probably only there's a saturation point for how many regional agents you could possibly have in a specific regional market.
Yes, that's very true.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Umberger. Sign up for special notices of Love That Voiceover at lovethatvoiceover.com. Just go to lovethatvoiceover.com and sign up. This is a big thank you shout out. Thanks to all of the following people I'm naming personally for sending in questions that got incorporated in one way or another into the interview all episodes with Jeffrey Umberger. Thanks to Bob Sauer, Eric Fox, Ed Victor, Laura Bidnarski, Dan Walks, John Bailey, Scott Rains, Fran McClellan, Mo Rock, Larry Hudson, Rick Riley, Mike McGonigal, Dave Courvoisier, Tasia Valenza, Tom Pinto, Ellie Ray, Anthony Pizzelli. Thanks. So do you know the story about how I was looking for improvisation online for voiceover actors and how I didn't find it anywhere? I turned over rocks. I went into old archives. Well, really, there was nothing there. And I wanted time to practice
my character voices
and develop new ones
that I didn't even know I had yet.
So basically, I created voiceover improvisation online on Skype. And yes, it's audio only, and there's a lot of cool people already doing this. You're invited to the party. Hey, hop on over, get those neurons firing even better and in different ways. It's like working out in a different way. It's voiceover improvisation workouts online on Skype from your own home studio. It's pretty effing cool. Cray cray. Go to vo-improv.com. Twitter at voimprov. All right, that's enough. Back to the show. I understand you have done some comedy. Have you done comedy theater? Is that part of your background? Or
yes.
Yes?
Well, I've done all sorts of theater, but in the last 10 years, since 2004, I became a member of a local sketch comedy troupe called Sketchworks, sketchworkscomedy.com. And it's basically Saturday Night Live on stage, and except better. depending on which week you watch Saturday Night Live.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about improvisation and how important improvisation is, in your opinion, for voice actors. And I'm going to plug something that I do because I think it's really important. I live in a removed territory, and so I don't get to interface a lot with other actors. And what I wanted to do was do an online improvisation workout for voiceover artists. And nobody was doing it anywhere. Zero.
Oh, wow.
Some people were doing some workshops, but they weren't really about improvisation and how to apply it to voiceover. And all I wanted to do was be with some of my peers, because a lot of them get together to do script workouts, but they don't do improvisation. And I just needed it in my blood. So I started it July.
Good for you.
And I have found that it incredibly, like exponentially, I will say, increases my flexibility in giving options in auditions as well as for projects. And it, I would say, helps me feel stronger standing on my own two feet because I feel like I have more in my toolbox.
That's cool.
And basically, I just wanted your impressions and thoughts around using improvisation and anything you want to elaborate on about that for voiceover.
Improvisation for an actor in any discipline to me is the gold standard. It's just everyone has to take it. And then after you had to take it, I think everybody's going to want to continue to take it because it does open up so many things for you, doesn't it? And
it
does make you more free. And you start thinking, wow, I didn't think about that at all before. Now you probably come up with improv in many ways throughout your day, not just voiceover, but I think you think of improv as a way of living a little more flexible.
And a little bit more flowing, too. Flexible and flowing, because I was telling somebody the other day, there's a concept in improv, for background for people who are listening, there's a concept in improv that's yes and.
Yes,
you
and.
Basically don't negate things. You don't really put up a wall and say no, like put up your hand and put up a stop sign kind of attitude, right? You say yes and. Yeah, I listened to Tina Fey talking about improv and how it helped her, and she said it helped her in her life, too. And I started thinking about it and started to try to use it. And so instead of getting in fights with my boyfriend, I really try to understand what he's saying by saying yes and with that concept in mind. And that's bringing to my life some benefit.
So your boyfriend says, you hate me, right? And you say, yes, and I want you out.
Luckily, that hasn't been the scene that we've had to work through.
That's good. I'm glad.
But normally,
go ahead.
It really helps on all kinds of levels. And I was supporting what you said because I believe that is true. And in my life, I'm finding that to be true. And I even saw an interview where Tina Fey said that was true for her. So in my opinion, it blows my mind that people don't know about this so much in voiceover. But that's my impression. People who have an acting background that come to voiceover, that would be something that they probably already know. But a lot of people who are kind of just getting into voiceover maybe don't hear this enough, because they don't think of voiceover maybe as acting?
I know.
Can you talk about that?
Well, it's sad that they don't think of it that way, because it is actually, there's so many stories to be told. Even if you think of it, the announcer, James Earl Jones, that got to say the three words, this is CNN. That is a story in itself that does take acting to be able to do that. Whether you call it high art acting or whatever, it may be not quite Academy Award winning eligible, but it's calling upon something not a robot do. So it does call upon you to think about and to put something into those words, and so acting is alive and all voiceover. But I don't like for someone to not think of themselves as an actor first. I think that's too important of a note for everyone to consider themselves an actor. And improv can completely open up doors of thought to where you can give them three quick, easy endings of a narration spot or a commercial tag, three quick things you can come up with. Or if you're in a callback session and say, that's great, we just kind of want to hear a little something different, then you'll be able to pull something different through that improv experience.
Right, exactly. Thank you, because I really like it when people get that, and I appreciate that. Okay, lots of people send in questions that are kind of around this area, which is with regards to talent having multiple agents regionally in different parts of North America, or perhaps, even in Europe. Can you talk about that, the benefits, pros and cons, things that people need to consider?
Well, yeah, specifically speaking of the Atlanta market, we have, some very strong voiceover talent agencies here, or on-camera agencies with voice talent divisions. And so we are all vying for the good talent that this pool offers for local or regional talent here. And all the talent want to be with everyone, because I'll get my niche of clients that don't go to anyone else, and they'll get theirs that don't go to me for whatever reason. And so it can benefit you to be with multiple agents here in one region, but there is a very dangerous element to it that I want everybody to be clear about, is that don't make your agent race to get to you, because what that does is put me at a disadvantage of actually taking the time to survey the job and make sure that the contract or the release is good or the rate is the best. Not that working with the regular regional clients, but that's going to be a mystery every time. That's not going to be a problem every time. But that's one thing that can get in the way. If you do first come, first serve, let's say you're with Humburger Agency and with People Store or with any other great agency in town here.
Sure.
If you're with us all and we all get the Georgia Lottery audition, we'll be putting it out in our sequence of our afternoon. I try to put things up quickly, but if I've got two other jobs in front of that one, I know it's going out. But sometimes I know, okay, that's regional. I've got to race, because Richard Hutchison is going to mail that out quicker than I can even think about it.
So there's a sense of competition among some folks in the regional market potentially, and Atlanta is one of them where you might have talent on your roster that another voiceover agent has on their roster. And in this case, the particular audition is probably going to be handled by that particular talent based on who the agent is that sends it to them first to do the audition for.
Yeah, so first in is sort of a lot of multi-listed talents. Way of handling it.
Right.
I prefer the preferred method, whereas you have, so you're with Richard Hutchison Management, you're with Umberger Agency, and you're with Houghton Talent. Out of the three of them, pick one and have loyalty to that one first. So if we all send you lottery, check with your preferred agency. Are you invited to work on lottery? Are you going to be putting that one out? And they'll say yes or no. And then you have your pecking order, not in order of favorites or whatever it is, but, you know, maybe you've been with one since the beginning. Or maybe one is expressing a desire to have you work directly with them or preferred with them for 6 months to see if they can do what you need them to do for you.
Right.
It allows sort of a loyalty and a teamwork. And the problem with getting me off into a race to try to get Mary Harris on, you know, on the lottery ahead of Richard getting his out means I have to drop what I'm doing for another client to rush this out just to get it to them. When if we already had that loyalty worked in there, I would know that Mary Harris is going to be expecting me to get this out if she got it from someone else.
Right. How often does that happen to you?
With some regular regional work, it happens all the time. Mm. And I'll get the email back from someone saying, oh, sorry, I already got this from fill in the blank. I said, darn it. I spent the extra time to make sure that that was not just one cycle for that rate, that it was, you know, I mean, that the rates are right or that the releases,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And meanwhile, one thing I mentioned earlier about a voice bank thing where I declined to work on it because the rate was deplorable. Other agencies had submitted it, and I heard back from talent when I finally submitted it that they had already gotten it from another agent, but the other agent had accepted the rate. Not that they were trying to be bad and not to, you know, get rate. I just worked harder on that particular one. Got the rate tripled. And they re-released the job, but the agencies who had already put out that audition got that talent first. So the other agencies benefited from my time, and the talent went with them. So I lost the talent and the opportunity. So it doesn't make it fair to put, and it doesn't make it good sense to put your agent in a race. Just simply have an understanding. If you're going to be in a market where multi-listing is acceptable, each agency is aware that you need to do this and will work with you. And you need to set up a precedent with them that, look, if for the first 6 months that I work with you or for the first year, I'll give you preferred status. So if I get three lotteries, I'll go with you first. If you don't put it out, maybe you weren't invited, and I'll take it down the line. You know, it's professional.
Yes. Great. That's really helpful as a window into what your life is like, too. Does this happen to you on national? Because that's really what we call a cattle call sometimes when a big agency like a BBDNO or somebody else has a national campaign for whatever product or client, and all the agencies everywhere are seeing that available via voicebank.net. So in that case, you know, how are you dealing with knowing what to do and how to approach getting your auditions? What's your process?
Well, it does happen with national jobs as well, and it usually, in that case, it would be a voice bank thing. But for instance, there was a McDonald's spot that came out, mm-hmm. and I issued the audition, and I expected those that I repped that were maybe in L.A. or that had a national agent to respond and say, hey, I already got this from DPN or whatever, and I wasn't. I was just getting the auditions back from them. And so one guy said, hey, dude, how did you score at McDonald's? And then I realized that producer had selected who to invite nationally and who not to. So they did invite William Morris that time. They invited me and whoever else they invited. So it does happen nationally. And so what does that person do who does have a national agent in William Morris and regional agency with Umberger? They wouldn't have naturally suspected that William Morris wasn't going to be doing it if I sent it to him. Just for certain, they would have thought William Morris would. But that's not always the way. It's generally the way. But for some reason, that producer had worked with me before and didn't see the need to go to all, you know, the national agencies for that. And I I booked the national spot. So I don't know what to do in that case. It's a tricky one. It doesn't come up as often as the national stuff as it does for regional, though.
Okay. We're going to say thanks to Jeffrey for this episode. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yay. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yay. Until next time, thanks for listening to LoveThatVoiceOver.com. Lots of love to you, you sexy, beautiful, adorable person. Take care.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.